We're going to have Brother Luther come up and read our scripture this morning. If you take your Bibles, turn to Matthew 4. Here he is. While he's coming this way, I want to say I appreciate having our visitors with us this morning. We are so glad that you're with us. I was gone last week. We had a chance to go visit our daughter and spend some time and worship with them last Sunday in the Searcy area of Arkansas. And it was warm down there. But it's nice here today, and we're glad you're here and able to participate with us in worship this morning. I do want to mention tonight is Youth Focus Night, and we're going to have a special lesson for our young people. I want to encourage them to be here and bring some friends with them, and we're going to fill up a good section of this area here. And then next week is our first Sunday goal of 131. And if we hit that today, it'll be 132. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, last month we set the goal at 130, but we had that goal the Sunday before. But we do hope that you'll invite. There are some invitations available that you can mail and hand to friends and families to encourage them to be here. Now, if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 1.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and ministered to him.
As we have been studying through this month, looking at the reality that each day of the year brings to us the opportunity to make decisions. And of course, as we think about our life and the decisions that we have to make, if we are a Christian, we want to do the right things, don't we? We want to be pleasing to the Almighty. We want to make the decisions that will help other people, show other people our love and our concern, but also please the Almighty God. But then we, like Jesus, are challenged. Because we're not alone in this world. The Bible warns us that there is Satan. And when we think about the things that God wants us to do and think about the fact that we've got an enemy that can influence our decisions, we have to stop and consider, what does God want me to do? Because sometimes decisions are not always easy to make. For many reasons. Maybe just because we're unsure of the right decision. Maybe because of our internal desires that are in battle with what God wants in our lives. And so sometimes our answers are yes and maybe no and, well, just maybe and I don't know. That's why we must consider our decisions very carefully, because as someone said, as we pointed out previously, the differences between the new year and last year will be the decisions we make. When we think about last year and what we did in looking to the new year, we will again, like last year, be making decisions. And the question is what decisions will we be making? For example, someone, as you look at this slide very carefully, has made a decision to eat with a very small spoon and a small cup. Well, I have to tell you, the fellow on the other side, his name's Rick. He's got the big spoon and the big cup, and he can't wait to get into cake, right? John was talking earlier, Brother John Nash, about the importance of eating meat if you want to diet and lose weight. That's great, great information. The problem I have is there's cake in this world. And it's so easy to grab that spoon that's pretty good size and go eating. In Matthew chapter 4, and I appreciate Luther reading this for us because he did a great job giving the emphasis. Because I think Jesus was not very happy with having to deal with Satan. In verse 1, there's significant information that tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He is going to face a challenge, and it's not just a one-time event. Satan is going to keep coming at him. And that's really what the year that we have ahead of us is about, if the Lord allows us to live. We're going to be facing Satan coming at us repeatedly. And notice that the scripture says that Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. Now that's a diet plan, isn't it? I can assure you I'm not going to fast for 40 days and 40 nights to lose weight. I might make it 2 or 3. I fasted as long as 3 before. And when you go 3 days without food, you start getting, as Jesus did after 40, very hungry. And what this tells us is that Jesus is in a situation, a severe situation where temptation is very, very, very real. And it's not only a real, it's alive, because it's going to affect him as he deals with the flesh. And of course, scripturally, we know that we must understand that Jesus came in the flesh and he's challenged. And what this is telling us is that that temptation is going to occur, and it's going to be specific, and it's going to happen at specific times in our lives. If we were to look at the parallel account, which is the verse I have here in Luke 4, verse 13, there's an interesting passage at the end of the temptation section that Luke records. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him, and notice, until an opportune time. Folks, it is the truth. You and I are going to be facing opportune times, just like our Lord. Satan wants you. He wants to affect your lives and your decisions, and therefore you must make the right choice. Just like Jesus did, to stand up against his temptation. But isn't it wonderful to know that Satan did not leave Jesus alone? Well, that sounds bad to say it's wonderful. No, it's wonderful in that we know that our Lord faced what we faced. He knows what we went through. That's why we can read things about him being long-suffering. Because our Lord Jesus knew that Satan was going to keep coming at us. And we are faced with decision after decision. Probably many of you remember reading about Harry Truman, our 33rd president from Missouri. Some of you probably have been to his library museum up in Independence, Missouri. Harry Truman went in as vice president to president, if you will recall, because of the death of Franklin Roosevelt. When Harry entered the presidency, he was faced with some very serious decisions, of course, because we were at war. He had to make the decision to drop an atomic bomb. I am glad that I have never been in a position that involved taking of someone's life. I know every day policemen are faced with that. Soldiers are faced with that. I'm thankful I have not had that experience. But for Harry Truman, it wasn't just one person or two or three. It was multitudes. And he struggled with that decision because he knew there was going to be a large number of people who would lose their life at his order. Can you imagine the emotional experience that must have been to have to be faced with that type of decision? History records that President Truman said, "I had the fateful responsibility as President of the United States of deciding whether or not to use this weapon for the first time. It was the hardest decision I ever had to make. But the president cannot duck hard problems. He cannot pass the buck. I made the decision after discussions with the ablest men in our government and after long and prayerful considerations. I decided that the bomb should be used in order to end the war quickly and save countless lives, Japanese as well as Americans." So he made the choice, a difficult choice. It's interesting, he is telling us he did it prayerfully. There's been questions for years whether or not it was the right choice to make. But there is one good piece of information: he did it prayerfully. Our God is there for us. And at opportune times, Satan's going to come at us just like Jesus. But we've got something as a Christian that the world doesn't have. We can bow our heads as we've done this morning. And we can pray and we can talk to our God. And we can ask Him to help us in this world of challenges. Especially the battle that we're facing as a Christian soldier. Randy G. Fine said we have control. And he says only have control over two moments in our lives, here and now. Well, I don't know who this person is, but what they said is good. Because that's the reality. When we think about a time of decisions, it's about the moments that we have in our lives to make decisions. And as we think about the year ahead of us, as the Lord allows us to live, there will be decisions made. And I hope many of those are made with prayer. Because we're going to be challenged. Satan wants to destroy us. He wants us on his side. And unfortunately, folks last year fell away throughout the world from Christ because they made the wrong decisions. We don't want that because Satan wants to win. And as we look at this account, clearly it does involve Satan. Notice that Jesus was tempted in that wilderness by the devil. He was there facing the devil. And it was at a difficult time because of the wilderness. And it's interesting that Scripture says in verse 3, when the tempter came to him. Temptation is going to be your challenge. It's going to be my challenge. Satan is going to try to paint a beautiful picture that says, hey, look over here. Look over here. And we must then start realizing we've got to make the right decisions in order to not allow him to distract us, to keep us from the way we need to go. We are warned in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, significantly. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Then he goes on and he says to the Christians, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You see, we can take a stand. We can choose to resist. And that is wonderful. And it's important to realize as we look at Matthew chapter 4, that's exactly what our Lord did. He took a stand. And we can do the same thing. But we must be aware that lion's out there. And he wants to gnaw on our leg. You might be able to get a chuckle out of this. If you can see it, guys are looking for a lion. Do you see the lion? The question is asked. No. Bad luck. This, to me, pictures exactly how Satan is at work. He's a roaring lion, but he's sometimes difficult to see. Sometimes we think, well, we're alone, no problems, nobody's around, nobody's watching, God doesn't care what I'm doing, and then we get in a position of temptation. And what do we have? We have that roaring lion. And therefore, it's a battle. And we must choose to make the right decision to not allow Satan to win. And you remember, as you look at this passage of Scripture, as Luther read, Jesus was there in the wilderness with Satan. You don't see Jesus surrounded by a crowd. It's when oftentimes we are alone that it becomes the greatest struggle. And here comes the lion. Then in verse 3, the tempter came to him, said to him, "If you are the Son of God." Notice that word "if." What does that word do? It starts creating doubt, doesn't it? If you are the Son of God. Do you know? Satan loves to use doubt. He gets us to doubt if you are really a Christian. You know, a lot of people get defeated and think, well, I can't live this Christian life. It's because Satan is saying, if you are a Christian, are you really? He causes doubt. But we must affirm who we are. We're children of God. Jesus affirms who he is by declaring himself to be what he claimed to be, the Son of God. But Satan says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. Now, if you're really hungry, that sounds like a pretty good idea. If someone says to me, hey, let's go eat, I go, okay. Can I have a big piece of cake? Big spoon. Verse 5, the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple. When you read this, you can see the power of Satan oozing from this passage. He takes him up into the holy city, sets him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Satan wants you to doubt, just like he was trying to get Jesus to doubt who he is. If you start doubting that Jesus is the Son of God, then that opens the door for Satan. And we do not want that door open. Verse 8 again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and glory, their glory. Look at this, their glory. It's one of those wow moments. Wow. Do you see that? And Satan, verse 9, said to him, all these things I will give you. Notice that word again. If you will fall down and worship me. Satan wants you to doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. And then he wants you to not worship God, but to worship him. And every day of your life in 2019, you're going to be challenged with the same thing. Who are you going to put first in your life? Is God going to be your focal point? Is God going to be who you choose this day to serve? But Satan's going to go, if you fall down and worship me, look what I've got for you. And he paints that wow picture. He says, look over here. Wow, look what I've got for you. Each time that Jesus was tempted, he responded, however, to Satan. And this provides me a pathway to realize that I can take a stand, that I can, as Peter said, resist the devil. And I like this little chart here put together because it causes the contrast. Jesus is responding. Satan says, eat. Jesus says, no. Man doesn't live by bread alone. Satan says, look, I'm going to give you all the things of the world. I'm going to make you rich if you worship me. And what's Jesus do in this passage? No, you shall worship the Lord your God only. And then when he put Jesus to the test on the pinnacle of the temple, what did Jesus say? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. But there's significant words used in this passage that we must never forget. Because it's the solution to the challenge of making decisions wherein we're dealing in a battle with the tempter. Notice what Jesus says here. It is written. Verse 4. Verse 7. It is written. That is significant for you and I. John 8, verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And therein is the challenge, isn't it? If you abide in my word. So we see how important the things that are written are to our lives. And as you clearly look at Scripture, it is extremely important to realize simple verses like Romans 10 verse 17 and how those verses play such an essential role in our life. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. It is written. Jesus said, if, conditionally, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Satan doesn't want you to abide in his word. He wants you pulled away. He wants you to surrender to him. But if you can respond to him by saying, it is written, you have power on your side. Folks, we need to realize this is it. This is what gives us what we need to stand against the tempter. Verse 32. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Throughout the years, I've heard that passage referred to many, many times. And it's easy to say, okay. But this morning, I want to challenge you as we think about this new year and the decisions you're going to make. I want you to embrace this passage. I want you to wrap your arms around it and you hold on to it tightly. And you don't let go. Because this verse will help us hang on to God. If Satan was a big tornado blowing through with a large amount of winds and there's one tree, what are we going to do? We're going to hang on. And what tree are we going to hang on? It's this one. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We know Satan wants to distort the truth. He even, in this passage, quotes Scripture back to Jesus. In the beginning, he only used one word to change the Word of God. And he will do that today. Therefore, we hang on to the truth. To the very realization, if we know the truth is going to make us free. In verse 24, John chapter 8, Jesus said, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. What's Satan want to do? He wants to rob us of the Word. He wants to cause us to doubt so that we don't believe. But what do we need to do? We hang on to the truth, because the truth reveals that Jesus is the Son of God. And that it provides us the way to enjoy remission of sins, to enjoy the fellowship of the church, to enjoy the strength that we gain from one another and from making the right choices to live the way God wants us to live. I love 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you see the connection here? We walk in the light. Of course, what is light? It's truth. We walk in the truth of God as He is in the light. He is who He claimed to be, the Son of God. We walk in faith believing that. But notice the connection that we have here. We have fellowship with one another. We have relationship that extends to each other as well as to God. And this is a formula for cleansing. A formula for dealing with this problem of sin. And we all sin. And tonight we're going to talk more about that with our young people. We're going to talk about missing the mark. So I encourage you to be back for that. Sin is a problem. But God has equipped us to deal with the problem by allowing us to have the fellowship one with another by walking in the light. Someone said, if you walk in the light of His Word, you won't believe the lies of the darkness. That was by Randall Curry. I don't know who Randall Curry is, but he nails the concept, doesn't he? If you walk in the light of His Word, you won't believe the lies of darkness. Satan is the liar. He's the father of liars. He's the one that wants us in the dark. He wants to turn off the light in our lives. Therefore, we want to make sure he never gets hold of the switch, right? We never want to allow him to have control of our lives. We want to make sure we walk in the light. And yes, sin is an inescapable reality. John points that out in 1 John 1, verse 8, as well as in verse 10. Sin is a reality. But the beauty of it is we can escape the consequences of sin by repenting, by turning our lives around. Notice what John says in verse 8 again. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to do what? To forgive our sins. There's the pathway. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He can cleanse us all if we all choose to do what our Lord wants from us, to follow the truth. And he goes on, he says, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word's not in us. What's he telling us? Satan is at war with us. He wants to tempt us. He wants to draw us away, and we will sin. But we don't have to stay there. In fact, we should not stay there. We should crawl out, lift ourselves up, stand against him, take a firm hold, and continue to walk with him. But the problem is, Satan doesn't want us just to sin once. He wants us all the time. And so his goal is going to trap us. He wants us trapped into sin. That's what Hebrews 10 verse 26 tells us, for if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. So there is what we must realize. There is the challenge not to allow Satan to trap us in a ditch wherein we just keep living and wallowing in the mire, living in sin. It's interesting that verse 25 previous to verse 26 of Hebrews, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You remember what's said in 1 John 1:7? We have fellowship. There's importance to this assembly. I'm glad you're here this morning in this assembly, because in this assembly, we have a place of strength. It allows us to focus, to worship on God, to worship our God, to focus upon Christ and who He is and what He did for us. And then we have a chance to fellowship and focus on one another and share love, as Randy mentioned earlier. That's essential. The assembly is essential. Because what Satan wants us to do is to live in the valley, in the ditch, in the mire, where we sin willfully. And that's a dangerous place to be. Verse 27 tells us why. A certain fearful expectation of judgment, fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. And so we have to be aware. There's where Satan wants us. And he's going to try to tempt us to abandon the assembly. Try to tempt us to give ourselves over to the world, to all that's in the kingdoms of the world. But like Jesus, we need to be strong and take our stand. Why? Because we're better together. There's no doubt. We are better together with God in fellowship with Him and then fellowship one with another. And as John 14, verse 15 records the words of Jesus, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's what it's about. Making sure we hang on to Him, the one who loved us so much that He gave His life for us. And in turn, we love Him by keeping His commandments. Someone said, well, obedience to God is an expression of our love for God. Of course, that's John 14, 15 and 21. Your obedience to God this year, just like last year, will be challenged if you're a Christian. But we want to make a commitment to say, I love God. Satan kept going at Jesus saying, if you are. But Jesus took his stand. Verse 11 tells us that the devil left him. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. Satan's going to put temptation in our way, but we can resist the devil. And we have a promise that he will flee from us if we take our stand. If we submit in obedience to God and we stand up to the devil, we have the promise he will flee from us. We don't have to live in the wilderness with Satan. I might have made this sound like that every day is just going to be a wilderness day. It's not. Oh, we'll face questions. We'll face decisions each and every day of our life. But it's not like that we've got to go to a horrible battle against Satan. But we don't want to let down our guard, do we? Because you know what he'll do. It's when we're the most comfortable, he's going to find a way. And so every day I think about the reality that I take my stand. Every day I choose the right choice. Choose the choice to be with God. And it's interesting, if we jump on down to Matthew 4, verse 17, Scripture says, from that time began, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why was he doing that? Because that's what God wanted. And Jesus knew the importance of doing what God wanted as he dwelt on this earth, to the point of going to the cross to shed his blood so that you and I can have remission of sins. And therefore, when we consider what Jesus did for us, we consider importantly what we have as a responsibility to daily live, choosing to keep his commandments. And look at verse 5 of 1 John chapter 2. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And that is the challenge, making sure that God's love is perfected in us. And so this morning, as we consider the things that we've discussed, what about you? In just a moment, we're going to sing an invitation song. And we're going to ask, if you're not a Christian, you've been thinking about it, and you understand what you need to do to become a Christian, that you make the right decision. And so it will be a decision. But here's the question. Who's going to win this morning? Is your life going to be given to God? Is it going to be a yes? No? Lots of times it's kind of a maybe. Maybe I'll do it. No. And maybe you're here and you don't know what you need to do. Well, we've got folks in the congregation would love to build a study with you, sit down with the Bible open and just discuss what Scripture says so that you can know about the decision that you need to make. And the good news is, no matter what decision we've made in the past, we can make a change and make the right one. This morning, do you need to make that right decision? If so, would you please come forward as we stand and sing? We'd love to assist you this morning.